We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast that dives into social relationships and why the investment you put into them is so important. Your host, Lori Hybu, will connect with industry-leading professionals and dive into their networking experiences and expert advice.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybu here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybu and on Facebook. This week's guest is Lisa Attonito. Did I say that right? Yes? Awesome. Great. Lisa was named the Executive Director of the Women's Fund of Greater Milwaukee in November of 2016. Committed to activating philanthropy to advance equity for women in our community, the focus is on economic empowerment, leadership skills, and education. The Women's Fund is working to change attitudes, behaviors, and culture so Greater Milwaukee is an inclusive, world-class community where women and girls realize their full potential and everyone thrives. Lisa has extensive experience in organizational management, board governance, staff development, budget creation and oversight, along with brand development and engagement. Her career includes senior positions with several well-known, best-in-class nonprofit organizations. She has always had a growth mindset and believes strongly in building brand experiences that reflect the culture and mission of the entity while supporting the strategic goals. Her track record of sales includes consistent success and a dynamic network that is fueled by sound project management and good communication. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Lori. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm excited for you to be here. I think the organization that you're running is fantastic. So let's talk about that a little bit more. What is your vision for the Women's Fund of Greater Milwaukee?
Well, building on the success and shoulders of all the women who have come before me, by all means, I am hoping to establish or reintroduce the Women's Fund as a thought leader and community creator, and at the same time, a go-to entity that's making change and making the place better for all of us.
What's one of your proudest accomplishments thus far?
Ooh. So a strong nonprofit always has a strong and engaged board. Mm-hmm. So I would say my early accomplishment was as executives were terming off the board, we were able to add new directors to the group that are enthusiastic, that are excited, that have new networks and new ideas. And so it's been really exciting to work with such a dynamic group that is continually changing. And I mean dynamic not only as individuals, but dynamic as a group that's always changing.
Everyone's growing and evolving
Exactly. Individually
and probably bringing those experiences to the organization, I'd imagine.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. So what are you working on now within the organization?
Well, since we're moving into the fall season, mm-hmm. we are in the midst of planning our annual educational event. We use a title of Women's Fund Presents, and then each year there's a different theme. And so this year the theme is the future,
Ooh. And
we're focusing on the year 2030.
Oh.
We have invited Rebecca Ryan of Next Generation Consulting in Madison to give the keynote address, and we have already had one pre-event conversation with Rebecca,
mm-hmm.
and she has a lot to offer. She's not only going to talk about, you know, she talks about the future not being one picture of the future, but really what's happening today and what are the trends that are happening today that will affect and how we can affect those trends
uh-huh.
to create the future we all want now.
Very cool.
And so she is going to talk about millennials and how they relate in the workplace, but she's also going to talk about the changing economy. She might talk about the Me Too movement and what it has done for women
mm-hmm.
and maybe where it's going to go from her perspective. So she's doing her research.
That sounds really cool.
It's going to be a good session.
I'm definitely interested in that. I've not really pictured someone saying, like, this is the future right now and kind of positioning it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
So mark the calendar, November 1st, Friday for lunch at the Harley Davidson Garage. You can visit our website on the event
venue.
Page for more details.
Great. I love it. We'll definitely include that information in our show notes when this goes live.
Terrific.
All right. So as a show about the topic of networking, my goal is to help alleviate any fears that someone might have that, you know, when they hear that word networking. So can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking experience that you've had?
Well, I don't know that you got some qualifiers in there. I'm not sure if this fits, but it's certainly appropriate for this session. So I'm going to start with the end. I'm here.
Great.
And how did I get here?
Sure.
And if I start from the beginning then and go back and say, okay, how did I get here? I'm sitting here with you, Lori, interviewing about social networking. And I met a friend, Leela, owner, Carrie Arroway, for our annual sort of social gathering in December for many years in a row. And taking advantage of social media, Carrie posted among her friends, hey, I'm going to be over at the now defunct Cararaches for Ben and Jerry's celebration. Join us if you're in the neighborhood. And Neil Hoffman came. I met Neil. We chat a little bit just socially about what, you know, whatever we're doing for the holidays that year. And after that, I had reason to have contact with Neil because I was working on some graphic design projects, and she has that expertise. So she and I started doing a couple of projects. They've kind of ebbed and flowed through the last couple of years. She joins a group I've organized at the Women's Fun Sunny Table called Women as Consultants. We talk about doing a podcast, and voila, Neil uses her network and we meet.
Yeah.
And so now I'm here.
Fantastic.
Doing a podcast after networking.
Yeah. And you didn't know that was going to happen, did you?
I didn't. And so what a great first question to start about networking. I'm like, okay, can I start with the end?
Yeah, why not? You're here today because of networking.
Exactly.
Which is fantastic. And I love those stories. So thanks for sharing that story of how we connected.
Of course.
As you've grown professionally and especially in the nonprofit world, you build quite an extensive community. How do you stay in front of and nurture these relationships that you're creating?
It is a really good question. And when I first read the question, my initial response was, well, that has an assumption that I am staying in front of my network. Because I think, you know, even though there's all kinds of technological tools that we can use, it's still the greatest challenge.
Yep.
You know, as our network evolves, matures, expands, there ebbs and flows of people in and out. And as people move about in their own lives, it's so hard to keep connected. And so one of the things I'm really committed to is keeping my LinkedIn profile current, and not only current about my work experiences, but even my contact information. So that little tab that says contact info for me is current. It has my mobile phone. It has a Gmail account. So even if I do move to a new position with a different organization, I still have my own personal Gmail account that's posted out there. You know, I think always going out, always going to events, always being present, reading the news. These are all things that I think keep us current and connected so that we can be relevant in conversation.
Absolutely. I agree with that. It is important to be relevant in conversation and have some common ground to talk about instead of just how's the weather and the sports team,
you know? Yeah, how do we go beyond that? Especially, I think, when you're talking about professional networking, because everyone's networking for one reason, you know, to advance their business goals or their strategic goals or whatever kind of label they have for their goals.
Yep.
And so they're looking for ways, they're out in the world trying to find ways to advance themselves or their project. And so I think if we can be relevant every time we're out there, then people circle back with you. And then it's a shared responsibility in the networking and nurturing the relationship as opposed to always being the outbound doer.
That's a really important point to make, in that it's a give and a take as far as maintaining the relationship, and it really can't be a one-way or one-sided approach to things. So what advice would you offer that business professional who's looking to grow their network, or someone that's just attending events for the first time?
So right away, my first reaction is be curious. Because if you are curious, you don't have to work at being social. It just comes so naturally. And I think the more curious people are, the easier it is for them to talk to people that they don't know. I think going to an event for the first time or, you know, relatively young, inexperienced in event networking, I would say, you know, really fundamental things, 101, be sure you have business cards. Be sure they're easily accessible. Nobody wants to wait in that uncomfortable moment of silence while you dig around or find it or search through a pile of business cards you've collected throughout the day or the event. You know, I think having a couple of things to talk about, you know, predetermined. So when someone says, what are you keeping, what's keeping you up at night? What can you say? Mm-hmm. What's your answer to that? Yep. Or what are you working on? Or do you have any summer plans? Or, you know, what book are you reading? All of those are such traditional opening statements to a conversation while people are trying to find that common ground and find something that they can build on in a conversation. Mm-hmm. So I think as a beginner, I would say go to an event with some of those things predetermined. And go with someone else.
Yep.
I think it's always easier for two people to be at an event, especially if one is uncomfortable or if both are uncomfortable.
Yep.
I think that's an easy solution.
Yeah.
If we go together, it's easier.
I'm always a fan of going to, especially a new organization or group with a my networking buddy. It's a little less intimidating to... And then more times than not, you find you run into someone that you actually know who can make some introductions to some other people in the group. But I think those are all fantastic pieces of advice. Being curious is extremely important because then it shows that you're genuinely interested in them, and that's that's sound. And then making it easy for them to connect with you by the point about having your contact information easily accessible as opposed to making them stand there and whatnot. Really good tips. So a lot of what we're talking about, though, is that traditional type of networking. We're at an event face-to-face, and obviously digital has made some significant shifts in our world. So when we look at digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
Yeah, I really think it has to, the best answer is a blend.
Okay.
Whether you meet someone in person or online, eventually you have to do the other, right? Yeah, so if I meet you in person, eventually I'm going to meet you online. If I meet you online, eventually I'm going to want to meet you in person. So I think it's a blended answer. I think it's important for us to all to remember that 80% of what we communicate is nonverbal. Therefore, if we meet online, the faster we can get to an in-person relationship, the easier it will be to build trust.
Yes.
And we all know that trust is the basic building block of any solid business relationship. And so if we can build trust quickly, we can blossom a relationship that will be beneficial for our business needs. So I think of it as a blend. Whether I meet you online first and then eventually meet you in person, or talk on the phone, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's easier for me to meet people in person.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's just my traditional style. Inevitably, I will always connect with somebody on LinkedIn after.
Absolutely. I agree. I think it is a combination of the two. I mean, you're focusing, your goals and initiatives are very localized in Milwaukee.
It's true.
And if someone has goals that are national and international, maybe a little bit more challenging, but there's ways to do everything nowadays. And, you know, traveling has gotten easier than it was 20, 30 years ago to some extent. But video technology and conferencing really allows you to have that face-to-face, even though you may be, you know, hundreds of miles away from each other.
It's true.
Good, but I do believe 100% in the statement that you said that trust is the basic building block of building any relationship. I think that's a nice, solid statement, and there's a lot of truth to that. Okay, Lisa, if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Yeah, that's a hard question. You know, it's always, whenever you look back, you're losing your current body of knowledge and your body of experiences to go back to a time that was so different. And of course, the further you are from 20, the more that the bigger that gap, of course. You know, I think to be more vulnerable would be my candid answer about what I would tell my 20-year-old self. I think being vulnerable throughout life is really important, not only in interpersonal relationships and family relationships, but then I just think in general, in building business relationships, being vulnerable allows somebody to be helpful. And everybody likes to be helpful. It's sort of human nature to want to help other people and feel good. It makes people feel good. Mm-hmm. And so I think being vulnerable, being very personable, I think is a big part of an early career. And I don't know that I was willing to share my personal life. I was so business oriented, so focused on being a professional, especially when you're 20. Yep. I mean, I was still in college when I was 20, of course. I just
find it's an interesting question because, I mean, that time period when you're in college is very influential on what happens the next 30, 40, 50 years of your life to some extent.
It's true. Yes, it does set your path.
So we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person that you'd love to connect with? And do you think you can do it within the 6th degree?
I don't know. This is a really hard question for me because I really love to connect with everyone.
Okay.
And, I mean, I get the essence of your question is, you know, I would imagine this is somebody that's perhaps famous and well-known by many people or someone that is secluded and separated from the masses. Mm-hmm. But I really love to meet everybody. I can be walking down the street and someone's walking towards me and there's something about them. Either I like the shoes they're wearing or I like the, you know, they're walking with such determination that I just want to meet them. I just want to talk with them. Mm-hmm. And so that is a hard question for me to answer. What I do cherish, however, is when other people tell me about people they think I should know. That is really a wonderful compliment. I take that as a wonderful compliment that someone else wants to share their network with me.
Yep.
And so that's my answer. Like, I want to meet anybody that someone else wants to introduce me to because it's such a privilege to know other people's closest constituents, donors, you know, business partners, friends, family, whoever.
I love how you position that. I think that makes a lot of sense. And to some extent, it goes to the whole paying it forward mentality, where you're being very appreciative of the time that someone is taking out of their day to make a personal introduction. And there's a lot of value that comes along with that. Very nice. Very profound. All right. So one of the things I love asking my guests is about their own personal journey in growth and education and leadership. So what books or podcasts are you listening to help you continue to grow and learn?
So it's sort of a traditional method, but I do listen to National Public Radio quite a bit. I love a couple of, you know, Terry Gross does a fantastic job interviewing so many people that I often am listening to her interviews. Sometimes they're historic, you know, and archived, and some are in the moment. I do also locally like the Lake Effect program on WWM because I think they also do a fantastic job sort of keeping people current on what's going on in our own community.
Yep.
I typically have a collection of books either in queue or already started.
Okay.
And so I do have Where the Crawdaddy Sings. Open as a book I'm reading.
Okay.
And I know this is going to sound super cheesy, but I did just pick up the book in June, Success is in Your Sphere.
Okay.
Because at my work at the Women's Fund, since I've started, I've just met more and more and more people. And I felt like I came to the Women's Fund with a rather sophisticated, wide network. of a lot of different people.
Sure.
And it was really at the beginning of this summer that I started to reflect to say, okay, I feel like I'm just constantly adding more people into the fold and not really developing meaningful relationships uh-huh. with them.
Yep.
And so I decided to sort of take a step back and say, okay, now who have I met in the last 2 or 3 years that I want to really prioritize relationships with, that I can maybe do business or partnership or collaboration, uh-huh. or maybe they can be donors or supporters of the Women's Fund.
Sure.
And so I picked up this book, just sort of happenstance, Success is in Your Sphere. And it's about strategies of using your existing network and going deeper with those relationships. It was like spot on for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I committed to, you know, talking with you for this podcast, I'm like, okay, it's going to sound so cheesy that I picked up that book, but it all sort of relates for me.
Well,
I'm doing this podcast in a timing serendipitously while I read this book, which is awesome. It's just more of the same for me.
I'm intrigued by that. And I think that's actually a challenge that probably a lot of people have. I know I personally have that challenge of, I love meeting new people, but to some extent it's, you know, we got to nurture the relationships that we have established. And I like the title, Success is in Your Sphere. That makes sense. You've got to focus on nurturing those established relationships instead of going really wide.
Mm-hmm.
Go a little bit deeper and building the trust in those relationships. Good. I'm going to have to add that one to my reading list. I got to tell you, the more I interview people, the longer that reading list gets.
Well, yes,
I'm not moving through them fast enough.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so I'm going to throw a little loop here and give you the opportunity to interview me. So what is something that you would like to ask me?
Well, I'm really curious how you got your business started.
Okay.
So if you can just...
Sure. Yep. So it was 2008, and it wasn't really the best job market.
It was not.
And I was working at more of a traditional agency, and I was really passionate about the digital space. And the traditional agency, the leadership team was more senior and not really ready to dive into something different. They were getting ready to retire and you know, sell the business. I was looking for new opportunities, and there just wasn't anything out there. So I decided to leave, and I was doing some side projects initially. So I had leveraged my established network, and I started Keystone Click in my basement. I literally mailed a letter to every single person I knew, professionally and personally, and said, this is what I'm doing. If you know anyone that's interested, or if you're interested, please have them contact me. And then out of the woodwork comes opportunities. So that's where I really maximized starting the business, was leveraging my network.
That's awesome. That's so great. And obviously you have no regrets.
Oh, I mean, there's always going to be some, there's always the what if questions, you know?
Oh, sure, there's always what if. But no,
no
regrets.
I love what I do.
Business,
I love what
so
I
that's
do.
Great.
I very much love what I do.
Uh-huh.
Every single day I'm learning something new.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel that I'm a stronger individual, personally and professionally, because of all the challenges that I've encountered as an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. And so do you have a network of other entrepreneurs that launched at the same time you did?
Not at the same time. That's interesting. That would be interesting to try to find. But I do have a network of other agency owners that I partner with, both locally and nationally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a fantastic resource to help me and me to help them. I mean, it goes both ways. And then I do connect with other business owners just through a variety of networking groups. But I really found that I love connecting with those that are in my exact industry
mm-hmm.
To help elevate each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always interesting. A lot of people are afraid of the competition, but instead it sounds like you've embraced...
Totally.
You've embraced the competitors, the traditional uh-huh. competitors in air quote competitors
yeah.
to say... Let's partner, collaborate,
absolutely.
Let's build together.
Mm-hmm.
If I could just ask, I would bet that trust is the foundation of that early collaboration.
Absolutely, 100%. Mm-hmm. Initially, I was more on the fearful side of my competition, but I've really learned to embrace it. And yeah, I mean, I could pick up the phone easily, a handful of marketing agency owners in Milwaukee or nationally. Mm-hmm. And if I needed help, I have no doubt that they would help me.
Well, that's fantastic.
And vice versa. If they called me and said, hey, can you help me with this? I would do whatever I could to help them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even though you might be bidding for the same kinds of projects,
absolutely.
Working in the same space.
I mean, that's just business. We're just trying to, you know, pay the bills and pay our employees and walk away with a little bit of profit. Mm-hmm. But the relationships and the trust that you're building so that, you know, you have some level of sanity at the end of the day, I think is really important. Yeah. I think that's more important than, you know, am I going to win this one project or not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sort of the long game versus the sprint.
It is. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you don't know. I mean, there's a lot of mergers and acquisitions that are taking place in this industry, too. And I mean, not just locally, but nationally. Mm-hmm. And so why not play nice? You know, because one day someone might be your new boss or partner or whatever. I mean, mm-hmm. you have no idea.
Yeah, we don't. We don't. Especially as the economy is moving so fast.
Oh, goodness. It's hard to keep up with.
It is. That might be our greatest challenge of 2020.
Yeah, that's very
is staying
true.
Current in mm-hmm. the economy.
Good. All right. Thank you. Fun questions. Mm-hmm. I love those. Any final advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
I think just underscoring what we've already talked about in regards to the quality of the relationship. I mean, I think that would be something else I would maybe tell my 20-year-old self is, you know, be sure to keep relationships that are strong, that are dependable, that you feel comfortable with, I think is another point. Uh-huh. But I think having, you know, it's like having one friend is more important than having 100 acquaintances.
Yep.
And so I feel the same way, you know, having a handful of dependable contacts mm-hmm. that you can help advance your career goals would be valuable,
Absolutely.
More valuable than anything else. You know, whether it's your personal board of directors or your business board of directors mm-hmm. that are your go-to people, I think everybody needs a group that they can depend on.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be the same group forever.
It doesn't.
I mean, it's kind of to your point of your board is evolving as mm-hmm. individuals, but then people change and they're not into what you're into anymore.
Right. Or they may not, you may have grown further than them, or they moved to a different stage in their lives and no longer have a connection to what you need or want from them. So I would say focus on quality versus quantity mm-hmm. in a network.
Absolutely.
And, you know, be real. And I think so often we're hard on ourselves. And I ask people all the time to try to consider intent. You know, I obviously I always intend to be helpful and intend to be friendly and personable. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's mistakes and things can be misinterpreted or misunderstood. And I would say just, you know, go with the premise that people are intending to be good and helpful mm-hmm. and trustworthy.
Which I think is a challenge that we often have with our little inner critics. But yes, just anticipate that everyone is being positive in their actions.
Or trying to.
Trying to.
We hope that's
absolutely.
The case.
Well, this was really good advice, and I think it's fantastic. All the conversations that you've shared, the stories. So, Lisa, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Of course, my LinkedIn profile has my contact information. Uh-huh. At the same time, I prefer email messages as opposed to LinkedIn messages.
Okay.
And I don't know why, but I just prefer it. It's easier that way. Obviously, our Women's Fund website has my contact information at the office, a mm-hmm. phone call, an email, inquiry via website, all that works.
Cool. All right. Well, we will include all of that information in
Terrific.
Our show notes. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today.
It was lovely. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, great conversation. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Lisa for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori at socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to see who will be on the show next. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next episode.